What's up, internet? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 podcast, brought to you by Zach
and Zach,
and with a special production added value of Red Bull and Starbucks.
Yes,
Red Bull, the taste of summer, even though it's fall.
Starbucks, the overpriced coffee.
Yeah, your Starbucks was more than my Red Bull was.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah,
but I like it.
Whatever.
I let my white girl embrace me sometimes.
Double shot energy. Anyways, we're here on a nice, mildly dreary, possibly rainy Sunday here in Denver, Aurora, Colorado. And what did we do this weekend, Zach?
I did nothing. You went to Fort Collins Comic Con.
Yeah, I went to Fort Collins Comic Con. My girlfriend, Galatea Cosplay, was presenting, so I got to attend her panel. It was nice. It was a really small con. It was in the community center. And it was really funny because there's a sign that says, "Go upstairs for more exciting events." And I got there early, so there were still people setting up. But when I got upstairs, it was just like a track. And like,
the fun of morning running, of course.
Yeah, I get to walk around in circles because the weight area was roped off. And I'm like, can I not use this equipment?
No, you may not. You may not lift
beforehand. I may not get swole at Fort Collins Comic Con.
No. But I did have the chance to go to Colorado Springs Comic Con, but I passed on it because I'm kind of broke at the moment. So I'm like, I kind of want to, but at the same time, I don't want to spend any more money.
Yeah.
That I don't have.
Sorry,
Juan. I'm sure you got that pass out to someone else, I'm sure.
I saw him and Gabe post pictures. The two of them being there.
I can't remember what they had an extra pass and they wanted me to go.
It's Matt or something.
Yeah, they wanted me to come and record with them.
Yeah,
but alas, I did not.
In addition to that, on a Friday night, we tried some experimental stuff. We recorded some Let's Plays in a game called Overcooked with our friends Steven, Adam, and Jim. We've heard Steve many times on our podcast. Jim has been a guest on Superfy. Adam
is the new one.
Yeah, we've been trying to get him to do something with us too. But
this was like the perfect thing. He provided so many great lines.
Yes. So we recorded about two episodes of that. There are five worlds in Overcooked.
Might split up the first one into two parts just because that was an hour long.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have cut it in half.
Tons of fun showing you guys that eventually.
Work in progress.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Well, before we start it. I mentioned this in the YouTube recording, but before we started this podcast, originally we were going to do a Let's Play channel. We'll just do a bunch of couch co-op games and stuff like that. We were going to play Diablo together, actually finish Borderlands and some other stuff. And then that fell by the wayside. And then you're like, let's do the podcast. I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. Fine. Yeah. Let's actually do something that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
So here we are 23 weeks later, 24 weeks.
24.
24 weeks later.
Almost
half a year. I can't wait till we call ourselves the new Z2 at the 52nd episode.
The new Z2.
The new Z2.
So many puns. I'm starting to think if we're going to... Actually, no. I will not say that.
Are we going to reboot? Like, are we going to bring in two brand new people that are 5 years younger than us?
Everything will be 1.1, 2.1, 3.1.
We're going to find another Zach.
It'd be so annoying. It'd be so obnoxious for the numbering.
So, no, we're going to, at the new Z2, we're going to bring in two brand new people, have them record everything, and then about halfway through, we're going to have identity crisis as we come back to our own show and discover two people have been recording without us.
It was Jim and Steven the whole time.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the intro, and Jim's like, welcome to the Z2 podcast. I'm like, we're not recording.
We're on YouTube.
We're on YouTube right now.
We'll be on YouTube.
I'm Jim, and I'm Adam, and you guys need to be quiet so we can actually introduce this.
Yes.
Good times.
I want to get a fancy condenser microphone now for those, so it'll be easier to record everything.
Yeah.
Because the double dynamic mics works well for this. Not so much for five people on a couch.
Levels were non-existent that
day. It didn't sound that bad, actually. It's just some people can be heard better than others at points.
Okay.
Because of positions of mics, right, and audio stuff.
Well, we'll figure that out one day.
Yeah.
We'll put out those three episodes.
Sometime.
Eventually, and then get a new microphone.
I'm imagining work might be a little slow for me this week, thank God. So I might actually have time to just listen through all the audio, make sure it's all good.
Sweet.
Then compile it with the videos later.
Nice. All right, should we actually start the podcast now?
Wait, what?
We've already gone off tangent.
You mean the record button wasn't hit?
Don't scare me.
No, it was fine.
I can only be that excited once on a Sunday.
But you have Red Bull, so you're fine.
Yeah, but caffeine doesn't do anything to me.
Yet we both still drink it. So I guess the first piece of news we have is Riri Williams is not going to be called Iron Man. She will be called Iron Heart in the new Invincible Iron Man series.
Which is relaunched with the number one.
Yes. Aren't they all relaunching to number one anyway? Pretty sure they were.
No.
I'm pretty sure they were.
Some of the Marvel Now titles are continuing their original numbering. Like Spider-Man will be on issue 9 as Marvel Now is relaunching.
Well, this won't be confusing for anyone.
Yeah, because we have, I guess last time with Marvel Now, it was Miles Morales like Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, that was a hard reboot, though.
Yeah, that was
a hard relaunch.
Yeah, that was a hard relaunch, but this one is kind of, it looks like everything's being launched into waves, so as you have these new number ones popping up, you'll have other things that are in, like, issue 18, issue 19.
So pretty much like how DC is doing.
Not really.
DC, I mean, DC. I guess DC is like kind of like doing a full relaunch,
but over they did time. Waves,
yeah.
Of number ones.
Because Batman Beyond's renumbering now that the old story's finishing.
Yep, the DCU era has officially ended.
Yes. Yeah. Are all the DCU books now over?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the last one?
Yep. Well, I'm sure Batman Beyond wasn't a DCU book, but it was just one of those books that
I think it's Dan Jurgens started after. Convergence.
Yeah. But Dan Jurgens needed to tell this story, and he needed this one last issue to set up Terry to be Batman again. So we don't know what's going to happen to future Tim.
But he's the old man in the control room.
Yes. That was actually my theory onto what happens in Invincible Iron Man is that Riri will be doing
off in the corner.
Yeah.
Being her Alfred.
Pretty much that he'll be her AI system, essentially. Whether or not she has like a full AI program in her suit, or it's Tony on the back burner trying to do everything. Because at the same time, you have like Dr. Doom, who's going to be running around as the infamous Iron Man, which I'm really excited about. But again, there's that backdoor exit for Tony. It's like, what is he going to be doing after the events of Civil War? Which got extended by one issue.
Issue 8. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if we ever talked about it, but Bendis said he thought of a better ending and Marvel editorial let him do it. So it's cool. I'm actually really excited for Dr. Doom, Iron Man, and Riri.
Yeah.
Because it's something like really new, really refreshing. And then you have Dr. Doom, who, you know, Bendis was like, all these Marvel events, we use these characters, we use the Kree. And then once our Kree event is over, they disappear off the map, and then they slowly resurface. Right now, it's actually a really good point to use Doctor Doom. He's been a supporting character in these books with this eventual end goal set up.
Fantastic Four and him have been gone for a while. Like,
yeah,
it's a good natural progression for him to come back while the Fantastic Four are still dicking around wherever.
Building universes, chilling with Inhumans, and the Guardians.
Have we even seen?
We haven't seen.
They haven't shown. Mr. Fantastic hasn't even shown up. Like. In any reference,
They have a statue of the Fantastic Four in New York,
right? But I mean, like the actual characters, like the end of Secret Wars, is like, all right, they're off and creating universes.
Well, I think that's just where everyone knows where they're at. But like,
just like, nah, we don't need
with a character like Doctor Doom.
And all the rest of them are scattered.
Yeah, with a character like Doctor Doom, though, I think it's really exciting because he is using this essential cleanse of new life to be a better person, to be a better human being, so to be a hero. And that's what Bendis's goal was, is to like, yeah, we've seen him literally with a new face, a new mask, but let's see what he can do with it.
Still looks sinister.
Yeah, he, I don't trust him. The cover of like number two is like the Thing just decking him in the face, so I'm pretty excited to see repercussions, because the whole
does
villain
the thing
gone hero
do
thing.
Any of the other Fantastic Four know he's alive?
Yeah.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Well, it's like he's just around. Like, everyone's very aware that he came back along with the new universe.
He's back.
because he chills out with Tony Stark. If he's hanging out with Tony Stark, people have to know he's back. Same with Doctor Strange knows he's back too. So I automatically assume that all the heroes know that this one big bad
it's just
that
gone, it's just gone through the grapevine.
Yeah,
it'll be those. I keep talking about how much I'm excited for the Kate Bishop Hawkeye book, but I feel like I'm just the most excited about it because it's been the thing that they've been leading up to the most in kind of all this fallout of Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Clint seems like he's stepping away from everything. Like even after the end of the Accused book where he's just walking through the crowd, just trying to get away from everything.
He's the main character in Occupy Avengers.
Yeah. So it seems like he's definitely like going into hiding, doing his own thing while Kate's stepping up to be the front facing Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since like her whole choosing sides stories are very focused on, oh, Kate Bishop was the pupil of Hawkeye. What does this mean for her now?
Right.
And this is kind of her choice of, Quint made his choices. I'm going to make my own.
Yeah. And I think a part of Occupy Avengers, you know, after the end of Accused, you know, Clint's not really relieved to be absolved of his crimes. You know, he still has that very guilty conscience. So I think the overall plot of Occupy Avengers is like, we as superheroes need to have repercussions. We need to do things that, you know, we shouldn't get thrown by the wayside. We shouldn't get a getaway free card just because we're out saving the world. We need to have rules in place.
Or you killed a danger that you just because he. Looked like you were about to sneeze or something. Like, what's going on here? Especially since like that whole Accused thing is like, half the population is relieved that Banner's gone, the Hulk's dead, but obviously Quint is not happy about that at all. He knows that he necessarily didn't want to make that choice, but he did. So I'm wondering if this is his way of trying to like absolve himself.
Yeah, and so the solicit for Occupy Avengers is superheroes. They're a privileged class doing what they want, when they want, and suffering no consequences. They have no regard for the ordinary people who are left behind to suffer in their wake. Who will stand for the little guy? There is a man, if you can find him. If he believes in your story, he and his friends will put things right. Some call them outlaws, rebels, Robin Hoods. To others, they are heroes. No power to speak of, just skills, smarts, and a burning desire to do the right thing. His name is Hawkeye. Occupy Avengers. It's time to take back justice. So it's a really interesting premise because the Marvel universe goes back to this standard quite a bit where,
Even with Fraction's Hawkeye, that was his whole premise was Hawkeye's focusing on the little guy, like that can't necessarily fight for themselves.
Right. And that kind of gets to my point. It's like Marvel kind of does that storyline pretty often in that regard. It's like these superheroes need to have rules in place. These superheroes need to be responsible for their actions. Tony Stark can only throw so much money away. Captain America is the golden poster boy, but
the Boy Scout,
even he needs to have rules in place. It kind of reminds me of like a little bit of Iron Man side in like the movie version of Civil War, where it's like, we need rules. We have a teenage girl who can rip apart time and space, so we need rules to make sure she doesn't. Well, you know, don't make her pissed off.
Yeah.
No more rules, Tony.
Are you referring to America?
Huh?
Who are you referring to?
Oh, no. Scarlet Witch.
Oh.
Yeah. Like I said, MCU.
My first thought was time and space. I was like, America Chavez? Because she will kick your ass.
Yeah.
She punches
the reality.
She doesn't fight. She's like solo fought the Ultimates.
Yeah.
God,
freaking hit Carol with a chair.
Yeah, that was great. I'm just like, Carol, I love both of you, but you deserve that.
Oh, yeah.
You fucking deserve that. So the thing that I found hilarious this week was everybody lost their damn minds about Young Justice Season 3, and it's confirmed that it's still unconfirmed.
Right. Some dude saw Peter David at convention. Peter David, he's a famous sci-fi writer. He wrote things like Shadow Complex.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's written a bunch of sci-fi books, and then he also wrote the Bloodlines story for Young Justice, that episode.
I think he wrote...
Or Cold Hearted, one of those two. I think he wrote
a few episodes.
Yeah. But he was talking to a fan, and this fan kind of like took his words a little bit out of proportion. It was like, yeah, you know, we've sat down and talked to Netflix, yada, yada, yada. And then the guy got on Reddit, and like everything blew up.
And then the writer had to go... Oh, he had to clarify that he talked to Greg, who had talked with Netflix, that said they were very seriously considering after seeing all the viewing numbers,
mm-hmm.
which has literally been the same exact status that it's been in for the last like 4 months.
Right.
So literally nothing has changed. It is always hilarious that like people always lose their minds. Like, it's just like, Netflix, are you ever going to make this happen? Like, look how excited people get about this.
Young Justice is the new Firefly.
It is. I feel like Young Justice has a better chance of coming back than Firefly.
I don't think so, personally. Really? Because Young Justice is a show that uses DC property, which is owned by Warner Brothers. There's more legality behind it than Firefly, which was owned by Fox. Like,
I would say in terms of getting everybody back to do it would be a lot easier than a Firefly reunion at this point.
Right.
Like, it's still like... I mean, yeah, Young Justice ended, what, 4 years ago?
Just
three or four years ago? But it's still like fresh in people's mind, and like the fact that people keep like the hype of it going.
Keep binging Young Justice.
Yeah, like it's been on Netflix's trending for like the last like 4 months.
Yeah.
Four or five months straight. So it's not like Firefly where everyone's like, oh, please bring it back. And yeah, that's never going
to
happen.
Like, I am still wishful minded. Like, even if they try to bring it back as like a digital comic.
Right.
That I would be okay with that.
Just
because
any sort of story from
any medium. Yeah, because, I mean, the game was all right. Could have been better.
Story was good.
Young Justice TV show, you know, there's a lot of legality behind it. There's a lot of, I would assume, paperwork to go from Netflix mm-hmm. to DC to Warner Brothers to creative departments, especially when DC is trying to relaunch a new Justice League show that,
true,
you know, they only use their property and they only have like two or three animated properties going out one time, other than like
they've been
the
focusing
movies.
A lot of the movies.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I think it's gonna be if like Warner Brothers sees the value in bringing that show to Netflix. Like, what are they gonna gain out
of
it?
But it doesn't sell toys.
That, yeah,
sadly,
which is the issue beforehand.
Yeah, but I was re-listening to that podcast actually. Paul Dini on Fat Man on Batman. Kevin Smith's podcast, and he was talking about, you know, over half of their viewers were female and well over half of their viewers were ages 18 and up, mm-hmm. were those audiences that aren't going to buy toys at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right now we're actually in a really cool time because you have like the DC superhero girls, TV movies, right. and then that
the
has like a whole line of dolls. There's the one shot comic, and then there's the young adult graphic or middle grade. Novels,
see what I think,
graphic novel hybrid.
What if they ever did bring it back? What I could see them trying to do is also bring back the comic series and make mm-hmm. advertise it at like the end of the episodes, like get more story in the Young Justice comic,
yeah.
like that total tie. And like, I mean, they're doing it with the TV shows, like, and I feel like that's the best way that they're, at least in terms of like merchandise, that they probably sell most.
Right.
Just because it's like, okay, it's more reading material. People are going to be invested in the stories.
Yeah,
so they're
totally.
More likely to get that than toys.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things because we both had our pull lists during the time the Young Justice cartoon and comics still existed.
Yeah.
But the thing was, is that they were never really solicited because they always fell underneath the umbrella of like, oh, these are the kid things. And it's yeah. like, well, when I'm rolling through the solicits on Newsarama, I'd never go past like, right when they start with like the Scooby-Doo team-up book, because those are the kids stuff. I'm not going to read the kids stuff.
Yeah.
So I had no idea this comic was happening until it's like, oh, cool. These trades are on Amazon.
Oh, look, volume 3 sold out and will never be reprinted.
Yep. I remember that was a whole thing for you.
I waited.
I did look for Visions 5 and 6.
No, I imagine you
didn't. A booth there did tell me that they might have some in stock at their store. And I have a coupon for $5 off at their store,
yeah,
so I can
find this store.
I will show you. Actually, I'll show it to you right now.
Is it?
It's in my pocket.
Is
nice
it up
little
in?
Flyer.
Is it up?
It's in NoCo.
Damn it!
But it's kind of funny. Because
God damn it.
It's our God old LCS you. When we lived up in Greeley.
Wait, was it Kevin? Was it Kevin?
It wasn't him. It wasn't his brother either. It was just two random people that I've never seen before that worked there. I'm like,
I wonder if they work at the Loveland one.
Probably. Yeah. But they're like, yeah, you know, we might have those extra issues at our Greeley store if you're interested. I'm like, well, trip. I don't want to drive 40 minutes from Fort Collins to Greeley and then drive all the way back home. But I would have loved to do that trip forever. Right now. Like I said, just call the store.
I need to. Like I said, I've been dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
It's been busy and things.
Alrighty, next topic.
It's also Greeley's far. Next topic, the Rogues are rumored to be the Flash movie villains, which that is excellent. Please give us a full Rogues gallery.
I have one problem with it.
No Wentworth Miller?
No, my one problem. I just want to bring Jai Courtney back and have him lead the Rogues.
Have him be Captain Cold?
No, have him be Boomerang leading the Rogues.
Ooh, that would be good.
Because Boomerang and Cold kind of go flip-flop on who's the leader.
Right.
But it's kind of like, it's the superhero fatigue of let's add in all of these named characters and try to give them a proper backstory. I mean, if anything, that was like my one tiny little problem with Suicide Squad was that they just like, here's are all these characters. Let's go on to their backstories in like 5 seconds or less and then do some more backstory halfway through the movie. And then there's still more exposition halfway through the movie. If they just do it through like quick news clippings or like...
Or like the intro scene is the Flash like capturing all of them at like different robberies.
Exactly. If they did that, it'd be a way to introduce these characters. It shows them in Iron Heights
breaking out and it's just like...
Yeah.
Let's go get the Flash.
Yeah, it's a great way to show these characters and their abilities versus the Flash. Makes them menacing, makes us care about them to a small degree.
I mean,
then we move on.
Yeah, and they've already connected Captain Boomerang to the Flash.
Yep.
So if they're to bring anyone back, he would be the first one I think they would cast.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least say that he's going to be in the movie. But
Or just give like some other low-key rogues that haven't appeared on CW or something. Or like... I don't know.
Mirror Master hasn't shown up.
He's going to be in this season. Top is going to be in this season.
So which one? They have none.
Abracadabra.
Woohoo!
Or, crap, what was that other? No, I'm thinking of the Teen Titans villain, Mumbo Jumbo. He was riffed on Abracadabra, I'm pretty sure.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was.
But yeah, it would be really interesting to have that be the first Flash. Because they've already established Flash is an established hero already. So having like a rogue war would be really interesting.
Like, yeah, showing some history of like him taking them down before. Like, I mean, like I said, like they've already connected taking down Boomerang. So
right.
Hopefully.
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I like the movieverse Boomerang much better than the CW one, who's like supposed to be this badass assassin. I'm like, no, that's not Boomerang.
No, Boomerang's silly. He's a very silly character.
All the Flash characters are very lighthearted. Don't make them serious.
Yeah, don't make this dark. The Flash is supposed to be pretty lighthearted.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know.
But speaking of dark. I learned this today that there's actually going to be a live action Justice League Dark movie.
The one that's been in development hell for years.
With Guillermo del Toro. It's actually going to happen because the supposed director, Doug Liman, that was going to do the Gambit movie is moving over to it.
Interesting. So he's ditching Fox.
Yep, to go to Warner Brothers.
So Doug Lind, man, I'm looking him up right now.
Yeah.
Not Doug in demand. Holy crap. I forgot to hit space.
It still says that Gambit's still in production, though, so that's kind of weird. Even I could have sworn they killed it off, though, a few months ago.
I think they did, and then they were like, nope, it's not dead yet. We promise.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name?
Doug Lindman.
How do you spell Lyman. That?
Lyman? Lyman. L-I-man.
Oh.
Lyman.
Okay, so this dude is famous for The Bourne Identity, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Jumper, Edge of Tomorrow.
It's a lot of action movies.
So I'm, you know, a lot of action movies who have just the smallest touch of sci-fi. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, well...
He's been...
I'm just surprised that DC's moving forward with the Justice League Dark movie now.
Right.
Like when I first saw those, I was like, oh, that seems kind of weird. I thought the animated movie was already done. And then it's like, nope, this is the DC Films installment. I'm like, oh,
I think,
well, that's cool.
Maybe like a week or two ago, someone leaked concepts from the movie and they showed like Swamp Thing walking. Oh, and that got people really excited. And it had like the old sound effect of like mac and cheese getting punched into the ground to resemble like the... So
my ideal team for that would be Constantine, Zatanna, Swamp Thing, Dead Man.
So the dark team. Yeah, period.
The dark team.
Yeah, and throw in Orchid, throw in someone else, like a rotating fourth or sixth member, whatever.
I feel like five would be perfect for that. They don't need any more.
Yeah.
Keep it at five. It's easier to explain everyone's story.
I think just the four. Like, oh, here's Dead Man. Here's him dying in...
Here's Boston Brand getting killed.
Yeah, Boston Brand getting killed at Haley Circus while Nightwing is in the crowd. Yeah. I mean, there's such a cool opportunity to do little cameos. Mm-hmm. Because these characters are all the DC characters are connected in like some weird fashion. Like
right.
Zatanna and Bruce, like...
I mean, Zatanna, Constantine, and Swamp Thing are like the trifecta that are...
Yeah.
They always know each other and do things together. My concern is the whole Suicide Squad thing. Like, a lot of people are going to go in and they'll know Constantine because of the TV show and his appearance on Arrow. But aside from that, I feel like a lot of people are going to know
Swamp Thing. Is that like that old black and white movie? Yeah.
They might like Zatanna's probably the only other one people are going to know a little bit about.
Well, thanks to Justice League Action, Mark Hamill will be voicing Swamp Thing. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, Swamp Thing is, I think people have realized, especially with the new 52 reboot, there's a lot of stuff you can do with Swamp Thing. Scott Snyder and Charles Soule wrote just a tremendous run during the new 52 Swamp Thing. And then he came back for his own limited series with the original creator.
Now he's with Constantine.
And now he's in Hellblazers. And oh my God, you saw that variant for issue 4, right?
I want it.
Where Swamp Thing is wearing the suit.
Yes.
Oh, man. That was so cool.
John has gotten me on the Swamp Thing hype train.
Yeah, I just called him Enabler the other week. Yeah,
he is the Enabler.
I'm like, hey, Enabler, can I have this book? I'm replacing it for... Justice League.
Oh, yeah, I need to do that.
Recipes, Justice League.
I need to drop that.
You got to do it before issue 4 comes out.
Yeah, I know. That's not this week. There's like no
DC. This week.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I looked at this.
It was in the back of the...
No, Justice League America is coming out this week.
Oh, whatever.
The freaking Dead Not Dead series.
The Dead Not Dead. Hashtag.
Yep. Oh, another... Just kind of going through everything.
Yeah.
Spider-Gwen's going to appear up in the Ultimate Spider-Man animated series.
What does this mean, though?
I don't know.
Like,
Spider-Man. They have Miles, Peter, now Gwen.
Well, they did like a whole.
Didn't they do a Spider-Verse-esque story?
Yeah, they did Web of the Spider-Verse, where they all crossed over to fight someone. And I don't know, because this is gonna be Gwen's first appearance in the animated series.
Yeah, this is gonna be the first her first appearance as Spider-Gwen outside of the comics,
right? And.
I mean, obviously, Jason Latour was pumped about it. He's like, and he felt that the animated verse would be the best place for her, at least her first appearance.
Right. So. Yeah, I was listening to something earlier, and it was like, yeah, you know, Spider-Gwen is a really interesting character. She's taken the Peter Parker background story, but done a spin on it because she's a spider.
Yep.
And I think it's interesting, but then it's... That thing, it's like, oh man, this is Gwen Stacy. We all love Gwen Stacy because Peter loves Gwen, and we're not going to have that because Web of the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, it's like they've established, like, there is Mary Jane. We worry about no one else.
This isn't like, Spectacular Spider-Man.
But Liz Allen and Betty Brant.
All of them. And Peter's a fucking dumbass the whole time, not noticing Gwen wants him.
Yeah, it's the traditional Spider-Man thing.
Teen drama thing.
Because Peter's always oblivious. Which
is
why Spectacular
Spider-Man is excellent.
Yeah. If you haven't already, you can buy the first season of Spectacular Spider-Man on Blu-ray at the nearest Best Buy near you or on Amazon.com.
Never forget that theme song.
Spinning on a web, spinning, crying. Oh, sorry.
It's a fun theme song, though.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't.
Swinging on the speed of...
I think it's like the edge.
No, it's like, oh, there's like this one really bizarre line. Are you going to look it up?
Yes, I am.
So this week on the EZ2 Spectacular Spider-Man fan cast, why is everyone's elbow so pointy? That's one series I really wish just never ended, but like the Sony Marvel deal.
It did the villains so well.
Yeah.
Like couldn't they not use Fisk so they used Tombstone the whole time?
Yeah, they made Tombstone a character that people enjoyed, which is surprising.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching like the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. He was like this just blue mobster. Mm-hmm. And then Fisk was like, I'm large.
So the first verse is living on the edge, fighting crime, spinning webs. Swinging from the highest edge, he can leap above our heads.
No, there's like a really weird thing is like towards the end. Something about time coming in at the speed of time.
Hang on. Arriving in the speed of time.
What is arriving on the speed of time? What is the exact speed of time?
I don't know.
1 second? spectacular Spider-Man. Sorry. This week on the Greg Weisman podcast, we talk about everything we love. Next, we'll be talking about Reign of the Ghosts. When is book 3 coming out?
Who knows?
Oh, speaking of Reign of the Ghosts, I just realized this. I was just on Indiegogo, mm-hmm. and I remembered.
I didn't know he crowdfunded that.
No, he crowdfunded something else. He crowdfunded a full cast reading of the first book of Reign of the Ghosts.
That's cool. All
of his normal contributors. So you have people from Gargoyles, you have people from Young Justice, you have people from Spectacular Spider-Man, like his OG crew that he always worked with.
Always calls
Disney.
On.
Yeah. So it's really cool.
Nice.
That's why Spectacular got, because Disney got the rights back to Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then we got Ultimate with freaking...
You remember the MTV version with Neil Patrick Harris?
What?
The really bad CGI one?
No. Was this a live action thing?
No, it was completely CGI, and Neil Patrick Harris voiced.
Was it the weird
Spider-Man
CGI like a Green Lantern and stuff?
No, it predated that.
Oh, so it was really, really bad.
Yeah, it was like it's pretty bad.
I never knew that existed.
I watched everything, Zach. Remember,
you are the encyclopedia. So you remember how we talked about how Legion was going to be its own thing?
It's
wrong. It's going to connect to the movie verse.
Really?
Yeah. Bryan Singer came out and he said it will be part of the X-Men universe.
Bryan Singer or Brian Fuller?
Singer.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's Brian Fuller doing? Sorry. I need to look up stuff now. Punch the table. So how's it connecting to the...
I'm looking at it. It just says it's designed to be part of the X-Men universe, but when you watch it, you wouldn't have... Oh, okay. It's designed to be part of the X-Men universe, but when you watch it, you wouldn't have to label it, and it could be existing on it completely on its own. So it's its own standalone thing, but it's going to probably have, like, shout-outs to the overall universe.
All right, so that's why they mentioned mutants.
Yeah.
Interesting.
See, that's what I thought. I was like, why are they saying mutants if, like, literally everything else cannot say mutants except... Other than the fact that Fox owns it.
So I guess this takes away my theory that everything takes place in Legion's head.
That still would have been cool. But who knows? It's going to be an interesting series, I think. I might actually give it a watch.
Okay. In that same interview, pulling it up on my phone, he says that he also went on to note that both Legion and another as of yet untitled upcoming X-Men TV series will relate to future X-Men movies, and that Legion will feature a really ambitious and fun and unique storyline. Interesting.
Huh.
Oh, it's Noah Hawley from Fargo. Okay.
Oh. Huh.
Sorry.
I've not watched Fargo, but I've heard it's good.
Fargo's great. One of those shows that I don't really religiously watch, but I will watch it if it's on.
Right.
Oh, speaking of religiously watching things, I got my girlfriend to start watching Stranger Things.
Oh, nice. Did you finally finish it?
No. I rewatched like the first three episodes with her, and she's like, this is very reminiscent to Super 8. I'm like, yeah, I tell people it's like Stand By Me meets E.T.
Plus Super 8. I feel like it feels like more like Super 8 than anything.
Yeah.
Just because of the whole monster aspect.
Yeah, the Monster in the Walls, and then 11.
I honestly didn't get into the show until like once they actually like introduced the whole alternate dimension thing,
The Upside Down.
Yeah, like once Barb got taken in its shoulder and like the alternate world was like, oh,
that was episode 3.
Now this is really cool.
Yeah, I got really excited because the lights above the couch.
Oh,
yeah. The light flashing. It's like, R U M. Yeah. Shit. Run, Nancy. Yeah. No, not Nancy. Whatever Will's mother's name is.
Oh,
Nancy has a better
freaking thing. Twitter though. There was like someone's like fan theory. 11 grows up to become Leslie Knope. It's just a picture of 11 with all the Eggos and then Leslie Knope with waffles.
11 grows up to be the girl from Carrie. Oh, speaking of Parks and Recreation and Stranger Things, like this actually connects to each other. The guy that plays Steve is the same actor that plays Jean Malfio in Parks and Rec.
See, I don't know my Parks and Rec character very well.
He's Aziz Ansari's friend. Ralph Macchio. Ralph Macchio?
No. Ralph Macchio?
What?
Hang on. Ralph Macchio's not in Stranger Things. That was Karate Kid.
Hang on.
Got the wrong 80s reference. Hang on.
Steve, Stranger Things. Okay. Jean Ralphio. That's the dude's name in Parks and Rec. But the actor said Ben Schwartz came out and said that Steve is the father of Jean Ralphio from Parks and Rec. Like, just to mess with the fans. It's the same actor. And he's like, yeah.
How old is that guy then?
Ben Schwartz?
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks super young.
Yeah, he looks like he actually 16. Like, he's very believable as 16.
Yeah, but he just, like, went onto Twitter and said, it's like, yeah, you know, that one time that Steve and Nancy had sex, the confused sperm went into Nancy, like, a year later, and then, you know, out.
Confused that's why, sperm.
Yeah, and that's why Jean Ralphio is just such a freaking idiot. Oh, he's 34.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Ben Schwartz is 34 years old. Good God,
he has like permanent baby face.
Oh, dude, he was in Turbo. Oh, so,
oh my God,
that's my fun fact. I actually connected Stranger Things to Parks and Rec after that.
Good work.
So, pause. Yeah.
So, how the fuck old is the girl who played Nancy then?
I don't know. But I'm.
She looks like 16.
Yeah. I'm going to finish Stranger Things this week because I saw at Fort Collins Comic Con, I saw my first ever Stranger Things cosplay.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it 11?
It was 11 in the pink dress and the denim jacket with her nose bleeding.
Nice.
And I'm like, holy hell.
Which episode are you on?
I'm on 4.
Oh, God. Man, you haven't gotten to that scene yet.
No, but I see that boss picture on the internet constantly.
Just that whole scene is amazing.
Kayla fell asleep. Sorry. Welcome to the Stranger Things podcast. We were talking about Legion. But Kayla fell asleep at one point while we were watching. So she missed the scene where Will's mother is running away from the monster and the whole light sequence. Mm-hmm. And then Barb being taken and everything.
Two very important things.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my goodness. You missed all of that. Very
key notes.
And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, you missed all of that? That means she also missed like the scene where they were trying to stick 11 in the closet. And she just snaps that dude's neck with her mind.
God, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's so brutal.
It gets better.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, this is like Elfin Lied.
Yeah, it really is. Like, that was my whole thought. I was like, so it's Super 8, and then the girl from Elfin Lied shows up. Cool.
I remember when I made you watch that show.
Yeah.
I was like, it's a really good show.
I was like, huh, this is, oh my God, that's a lot of gore already.
There's a lot of blood. Why is everyone a child?
Oh, God. What does she do? Oh, God.
Yeah. Good times.
Freaking Elfin
Bring Lied. Elfin Lied back on Netflix.
Yeah, that show is not for everyone. It has a lot of weird themes.
Elfin Lied for me and for you. All right, no. Moving on.
Yeah. You know, but who's not moving on is Steve Rogers as Captain America in the MCU.
I really hope they bring back the Nomad costume with like the deep V-neck that goes all the way down to his belt and the cape.
Steve, what the frick are you wearing? Bucky came up with it.
Bucky's frozen. He spoke to me.
He tells me things. Steve, are you okay?
Yes.
Yes, Bucky, I will.
He just goes out to Sam and does the finger to his lips thing and
rubs it down. You are the captain now.
So a part of me really wants during Infinity War, like, because the Russo brothers says not everyone's going to make it out alive.
Of course not.
I want to see, like, Iron Man with a brand new team of Avengers that he recruited.
Please be Carol.
I want the end scene to be, like, his incarnation of Captain America and getting killed. And then Steve just walks up with the shield, picks the shield up. It's like, now it's my turn.
You mean Sam?
No, Steve. Steve, come back. Because it's one of those things that I don't really see this being a permanent thing. Like, maybe it's a publicity stunt for Infinity War. It's like, when we see Steve, he will not be Captain America. Well, yeah, because Captain America is an identity that he used.
And
that he believed in. At the end
of Civil War, he essentially said,
he doesn't believe in it anymore. So there has to be some sort of replacement. And I know all the Avengers other than Iron Man and Vision are dicking around Wakanda. So who else is there to protect the Earth?
Again, this is their best way to bring in all those extra movie characters that they're talking about.
Yeah.
I.e. Carol Danvers, like they were supposed to at the end of Age of Ultron.
But originally, they brought in Scarlet Witch.
Because she was more...
She was there. Yeah, I want to do this really fun Easter egg. Now she gets a movie in 3 years.
Actually, that would have been kind of weird since they didn't cast Brie Larson until now. Like, they would have just had some random ass blonde woman there. Just like,
they just cut off her head. Like,
they just don't show her face.
Yeah, she's wearing the helmet. Guardians helmet with the mohawk.
Like that design. I like the mohawk helmet.
We will never see it though.
Like, better. It's the best image, like, iconic like disaster costume design.
No, it's not. It's the swimsuit.
Not the Miss Marvel costume.
No, I like the Miss Marvel like half swimsuit with the long sleeves and flowing scarf.
Oh, from
the Gary Conway run.
Yeah, from the 70s.
Yes. Okay. Remember, jackets, goggles, and now scarves.
Yep.
Just remember
that Carol Danvers did not have pants for nearly 40 years.
Well, neither did Robin, Zach. We can't all be happy. Jason Todd and Dick Grayson had to live without pants. Tim Drake was the first Robin with pants.
Okay. Fair point.
Yeah. And don't give me this like, yeah, no, it's actually a skin colored leotard pant thing. No, it was the scaly underwear. No,
it was scaly.
That's what we rock.
They joke about it still to this day.
It was actually in the Batman 66 issue where he gets stuck to like a car by bubblegum and it's like, oh no, my leotard is tearing. I'm like, all right, you know what? Fair game. You finally explained why Burt Ward never wore pants. Speaking of that, there's going to be a Batman 66 cartoon movie with Adam West, Burt Ward.
The woman who played Catwoman.
She was at DCC 1 year. I should remember, yeah, I can't remember her name. But I'm so hyped for it because I was such a... I don't like 66, but now rewatching a lot of that stuff is just so campy.
It's so campy. It's just entertaining.
Yeah. Just kind of like the same way that... Batman and Robin is entertaining and campy.
Even though we all know it's terrible.
Hey, that scene in Batman Forever where Robin's fighting the Ravers, where they all have the glow sticks, and then he's like, no, I'm Batman. It's like, get him! And they're all dancing to like some electronica music while fighting.
I always remember the rubber lips.
Dude, come on. The rollerblades?
The most iconic counter. Side note, Jim Carrey... Take him out of that movie and give him his own Riddler movie. Actually, be pretty good. He was a good Riddler.
He just went insane towards the end. I didn't understand it.
Yeah, that was a little weird. Like, up until that point, it's like, okay, this is a pretty good Riddler.
The scene where they were, like, popping the TV dish to everyone's forehead. That's when I was like, but this is a little weird.
But at the same time, that was like, that'd be a Riddler-esque scheme.
Yeah.
Maybe not to that degree, but, like, similar kind of thought process.
Jim Carrey... came out and said, like, during the filming of that movie, Tommy Lee Edwards, like, hugged him. Like, it was part of the scene where they just hugged each other, and he just whispered, "I hate you." And then like, released him from the hug. And Jim Carrey's like, "I still remember that too today."
Yeah, people did not like Jim Carrey on that set, apparently.
People don't like Jim Carrey, period. And it's like, his humor is just like its own branch of comedy.
I think it's probably one of those things he just gets too much.
Yeah.
It's like the whole Jared Leto taking things too far.
A little bit. It's like, I can only watch so many Jim Carrey movies. I can't watch two Ace Ventura movies back to back.
Yeah, that's way too much.
And then I can't watch a serious movie with Jim Carrey, like number 23. Yeah. That was such a bizarre movie.
It was.
Anyways, this is what happens when we both get geared up on caffeine right before recording
and because we're tired. Dumb shit the whole time.
I mean, at least it's not the raving villains for Two-Face with the glow sticks trying to fight Robin.
True.
In Batman Forever. We will never get that far.
No.
Speaking of which, we got to talk about our DCC costumes because I have perfect plan, but you need to learn how to rollerblade first, and I'm going to carry around a boombox.
I don't think they allow rollerblades.
They don't. We can get Heelys.
Too cool for school.
Yeah. I won a book at Fort Collins Comic Con. It was like the complete guide to sewing.
Oh my God.
During one of these panels from, I can't remember the cosplayer's name. I only remember her real name because that's how I was introduced to her. Mm-hmm. But I'm just sitting there and she's like, "Zach." And he said he wanted to cosplay this character. I'm like, "Oh, that's me." And I'm just sitting there next to Kayla and I'm like, "What should I do with this book? I think I might donate it or something." And she's like, "You donate it, you die."
Well, then.
I'm like, "Love you too."
Happy 5-year anniversary. Getting to the hostility sector.
A little bit. 5 years, ladies and gentlemen. If you donate a book on sewing, you will die.
Based on the person. So we're getting some more details from Tom King's Batman, the next arc.
Yes.
Story sign with the I Am Suicide.
Yes, yes.
Of his
Suicide Squad invading Santa
Prisca, so we get to see Bane again.
We haven't seen Bane since Forever Evil, and we've officially...
He was in Batman and Robin Eternal. Very briefly.
Oh, right.
Because when they go to
Red Robin arc.
Yeah, where they go to Santa Prisca and he's just there for a minute and then he gets taken out.
Right. By the agents of Azrael or whatever. Azrael's
caretakers. Order of Saint Dumas.
Yes, that one. But the team is Ventriloquist and Scarface, Punch, Jewel, Catwoman, and who's the last one?
Hugo Strange?
No, that's Ventriloquist.
Oh.
Catwoman, Punch, Jewel, Ventriloquist, and Bronze Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
So we haven't seen Ventriloquist since before the New 52, or at least the OG version with Scarface, the mobster doll.
Right.
And then Bronze Tiger we've seen, Catwoman. I'm excited for Catwoman to be there because I want to know what her purpose is.
What, is there still an ongoing Catwoman series?
No.
Okay.
Catwoman will return in the special election issue of DC Comics with the writer from Prez. Because Prez got recanceled.
Right. Again. Recanceled?
Yeah, because it was supposed to be 12 issues. 6 issues happened. Got canceled. Mark Russell, I think the writer is, said Prez will return. Limbo. Came up on Twitter. You will see the character from Prez again in the DC Comics election issue, but Prez is officially canceled again.
Huh.
Anyways, I'm really excited for this because, again, it's a bunch of random ass D-listers. And I guess you would say Ventriloquist and like Bronze Tiger, I guess B-list villains and Catwoman.
Catwoman's an A, obviously.
Villain, anti-hero. But I really want to know the purpose for all of these characters to be together because Bronze Tiger is a Green Arrow villain.
Mm-hmm.
Ventriloquist is just so bizarre. And then Punch and Jewel are like, they were OG Suicide Squad members. So I wonder if it's like Amanda Waller going like, you will take
this. Here's your
choice.
Here are your choices.
Not even that. She wouldn't tell that to Bruce Wayne. She would be like, this is your team for this mission. You're kidding me. And it's like, here's Catwoman. You're kidding me. But I wonder if it's like Catwoman comes out and she's like, I'm on this team now. or, you know, Bruce doesn't want her there, but they're trying to steal some shit. So right. Catwoman's the best option. I don't know. Use ventriloquist to talk from a tree. It's like, we're over here. I am Batman. I love the ventriloquist and Scarface story, like in Bruce Timm's 90s animated series.
Yeah, because Scarface is just like so controlling over him.
Yeah, and it's that
one. It's that who's the puppet now?
Yes, that's my favorite thing. Just I crisis identity of the human condition. Hashtag this week on the Human Condition podcast. Anyways, that's really all I have to say on that. Just like the bizarre team is really interesting and gets me kind of excited, but we have to wait until Night of the Monster Men.
Yep.
So wait till Super Kaiju. Passes.
Super Kaiju.
Why should you say it like that?
Kaiju.
Gojira. Sorry, I'm the Asian one.
Well, I mean, that's the actual pronunciation of it.
It's also an amazing metal band.
Yeah.
Check out Gojira, Flying Whales.
They're French. But keeping it on the topic of team-ups, Damian's getting his Teen Titans together finally, and it's pretty much the animated team.
Yes, from the newest movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen the preview?
No.
It's my favorite interaction of Damian Wayne ever.
What is he doing now? What is that little shit doing now?
I had like the biggest shit-eating grin behind the microphone right now. So far, we only, in the 5-page preview for the issue, we see him recruiting Kid Flash, Wally, Kid Flash, or Chocolate Wally. And then in the...
Is that his name now?
Yeah, it's Chocolate Wally and Strawberry Wally. And then the unlettered preview, we see him recruiting Beast Boy. And we always just see his boots. We know it's him, though. But, like, Wally stops this bank robbery from happening, but the central police think it's him stealing the money. So he leaves the money with the police and runs off and then sees this girl on a train track. He's like, oh shit, gotta save her. Mm-hmm. Saves her. It's like a dummy that like releases a noxious gas and knocks Wally out.
Yep.
It cuts to Beast Boy, who's chilling in a pool, and he electrocutes the water.
What?
And Beast Boy is knocked unconscious. And I'm just sitting here, I'm like, I want the first issue to just be Damian learning how to make new friends. And I just want to see him kidnapping people as a way to make new friends.
The Starfire interaction will be interesting since she's supposed to be the older one and the leader.
Yep, Team Mom.
Yep.
And then you have Raven, who's been de-aged to a high school student. We're going to see that in October with Marv Wolfman's Raven comic, finally.
Finally.
So the team is Beast Boy, Raven, Kid Flash, and Starfire. And then a sixth member we're not sure of yet, possibly Blue Beetle. I mean, makes sense if they're going with that animated team.
Right.
But I'm so excited just to watch Damian be a little shit.
Yeah, again.
Because that was my favorite part of like just Damian ever, is that he's just like an asshole that doesn't know how to interact with people. And then like we were always the best. Richard line always kills me and makes me want to cry every time I read Batman Incorporated. But I'm really interested because then it takes, because this team is supposed to go up against Ra's al Ghul, who we haven't seen since Batman and Robin by Tomasi.
Ever since the whole...
The resurrection of Damian Wayne in Talia. Because we see Talia again during Robin, Son of Batman, but we don't really get to see Ra's at all.
No.
So it'll be really interesting. It's like, we got to take down my grandfather. Why?
Why is your grandfather Ra's al Ghul?
Who are you and why did you kidnap me? So I'm really excited by it. Because again, the Teen Titans trope of... there always needs to be a Robin is always just like hilarious to me because it's always Tim Drake. There was an arc of Teen Titans before the New 52 happened where Dick sent Damian to lead the Titans
for
a weekend. And then Tim came back.
Right.
And it's like, nope, we're not doing it this way. And Tim's like, why did you leave him here? He's like, he needs to learn some social skills. He needs to be around kids his own age. Dick.
He's really? A highly trained assassin.
Yeah, that's just going to be my favorite parts of that entire
Hashtag Damien can't interact.
He has Maya and the other highly trained wizard.
Is like the best relationship.
Yeah. Other than like him and Dick.
It's just like, how much of little shits can they be to each other?
Yeah. See, I really loved the fact that we had multiple Batman running around. I really wish that DC retained that. Like, the main Batman book would be Batman in Gotham, whereas you have another Batman globetrotting around.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be in perfect sense for Dick to still be Batman. But, alas.
We have Dickwing.
Yep. Nightwing's back. Nightwing is so good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Moving forward, moving on.
Yeah. With Doctor Strange, scenes written with the co-creator of Rick and Morty.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be, are those going to be the humor, just all the humor scenes? Or
I really hope those are just like dimension hopping scenes. Yeah. Because, I mean, the only alternative universe we've seen is like the glass version of New York that gets folded upon itself.
Right.
Like Inception style. And I had no idea he was the guy from the creator of Community also.
Yeah. Dan Hartman.
Yeah. And
I think he also voices Rick and Morty.
Maybe.
I think he does.
I'm going to look it up.
I really need to watch more Rick and Morty. It's so weird, great. But it's so great.
Yeah. So, speaking of that, Freaky Deaky, there's going to be a Community cameo in, Season Avengers.
Three? Oh,
because there's always a Community cameo in all the Russo brother films. They just don't know which character they're going to use yet.
Hmm.
All right, so Dan Harmon. Oh, that's cool. Sorry, I'm reading his Wikipedia thing. But he says he uses a story embryo technique, which he invented. It's a framework that's... Huh. He doesn't actually say what it is. He says, the simplest form of a story. He found that many directors he was working with claimed that they were unable to write plots for television shows. This caused Harmon to distill Joseph Campbell's structure of the monomyth into a simple 8-step process that would reliably produce coherent stories.
Hmm.
Makes sense. All right. So okay. Dan Harmon, he wrote Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, really? So that's why that's good.
Yeah, the first one only. Television, Sarah Silverman Program, Community, Rick and Morty, creator, writer, and executive producer. He was also Bird Person in Rick and Morty.
Oh,
yeah.
I always thought he did the voices as well.
Now that is...
Maybe that's the other creator.
Let's see. Rick Sanchez is voiced by Justin Roiland. And Morty is also voiced by Justin
Roiland. Yeah, I know that they're voiced by the same person.
Yeah. So,
which makes those it's so much better because he's literally talking to himself the whole time.
Well, it's the same thing of the Morty that... I just dropped my phone. The Morty that's the main character in that show is not even the original Morty.
No, both of them aren't the original.
Yeah.
Like, the first episode, it's the whole time... They fuck up the world, so they go back and they just replace themselves.
Yeah. Good times. You really need to watch more.
That show is so weird, but it's so great.
Alrighty.
I've seen like 2 episodes. I need to watch more. But you know, something else that's really, really fucking bizarre is Clean Room.
Yeah.
It's still just amazing.
Dude, Spark.
Sparks, man. Let it out, Sparks. Okay, you can stop now. No, I don't want to anymore.
Yeah, just the fact that it's like, you've been absolved of all of your crimes. Oh,
your darkness.
Chloe Klim Klam. I'm going to kill. And, oh, God. I love that Gail Simone. She was like, in one of her tweets, like, every time there's an issue of Clean Room, I always get tweets about how much people are in love and lust with Astrid, Chloe, and Killian in that order.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I can really see that. They're all, like, 3 different bizarrely strong female characters. Or not bizarrely, but, like...
They're strong in their different
like a
way.
Yeah, they're locked into like a specific character type.
Capone
is amazing.
She's her own version. She's like the I don't give a fuck what happens.
She's the archer.
She's the like I have a goal and I will get it done, no matter what. Killian's just like, what the fuck, man? What? Why are these things happening?
Yeah, Killian's just like done with everything, but she's the most loyal person.
Killian is
to
like
Astrid.
The Cassandra of Clean Room.
Yes,
just like what the fuck is happening anymore?
And then what's his name betrays them.
Yeah. Because we also, it was the setup from the last issue where he more or less threatens his fiance.
Ripped out your scrotum. I was like, oh, Killian, please.
Well, no. The problem is he has the key card.
Yeah. Oh. She's just done. And then, you know, they're torturing Spark and Chloe's dead fiance is there. It's like, we have to go to the clean room. We have to free him.
Right. And it finally reveals that Chloe essentially has the same, not necessarily
vision.
Abilities, I guess.
Yeah.
That Astrid does. Which is why Astrid was so drawn to her the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I know that you almost died and now you see dead people.
Yeah. Which is interesting because this is like the first time maybe we only saw
this is the first Chloe
on screen with a dead person.
Yeah, this is the reveal that she can see the same things as Astrid.
Mm-hmm. And I think it happened in like the first arc too, where it's just like she thinks she's like straight up hallucinating, but these are the dead actually communicating with her.
Mm-hmm.
But then Spark is evil now.
Yeah, everyone's like, "Oh, poor Sparks," and now it's like, "Oh, I was Sparks." Oh no.
Yeah, and just like the thing in the central console of the clean room was like a pet. So that's so bizarre. If that's a pet and Spark is like the owner of that pet in that same regard, what are the weapons
for
his species of demon?
Yeah. Just like it's also weird. It's just like the fact is like you've been cleansed of everything. Like you can let the evil back in. It's just like, really?
Okay.
He could have literally done that at any moment and they wouldn't have been able to stop him.
Yeah.
It's like so bizarre, like how the whole demon, like the whole demon mindset is for them.
And I'm wondering why he's able to listen to Chloe. Like what makes her so special versus like Astrid, who has the same ability, but there's a twist because Astrid wants to kill the demons, whereas Chloe's like, I believe in you. We can do this.
This one's good.
Yeah.
Except now he's not.
Yep. Now he's not. And it's
now Astrid's finally going to come back.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
What the fuck is happening?
What did you do?
Chloe, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really excited. Just
the series is just so great. And now that we know that's getting issue 13, we'll get at least another arc.
Yes.
Hopefully we get more.
Yeah. I'm surprised because it's actually been coming out very consistently each issue. I thought it'd be taking a break at some point, like some of the other Vertigo titles.
Right.
Because I know
it's still the best selling Vertigo title right now.
Yeah. New Romancer was a limited series. Uh-huh. Sheriff of Babylon's going to keep going.
Frostbite's going to be a limited series.
Yeah. Red Thorn is going. Not sure about Cry Havoc, but
I think it's been going on for a while, so.
Yeah. But all these series are like really cool, really strong material. And with DC now pushing Young Animal, I wonder what's going to happen to like the Vertigo content. Are they going to only have like five issues and then Young Animal only has like their five ongoings as well? I'm picking up Doom Patrol and Shade the Changing Girl, but looking at previews for other stuff, I'm like, Carson has a cybernetic eye. Looks really interesting. This other one about, Violet Jane.
Yeah. Isn't that like the mother of Shade or something?
No, she is a vigilante that's in Gotham. So it's another story that's in continuity with our Gotham City in DC.
Hmm.
So it's like, I want to read everything. Books.
Quit making things so good.
Gerard Way.
He's only writing two books.
He's only writing one.
I thought he was writing two.
He's writing that in Doom Patrol. He's writing Doom Patrol, and then he oversees the imprints.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, you stupid Black Parade motherfucker. It's the only My Chemical Romance song that I like. And like, I will physically stop what I'm doing just to listen to it. Like, it was at the gym the other day. I'm like, yeah, lift, chest day, My Chemical Romance,
there's
marching bands.
There's this vine of, I think it's like called like, you never outgrow your emo scene phase. It's like this girl, it's just, it's, here's the first keynote of Black Parade and just like stares off into oblivion.
There's a Tumblr post that's exactly like that. And it's a girl looking out the window. It's like, when will My Chemical Romance return from the war? And then the next picture is her ducking down. It's like, my neighbor saw me.
Oh, man. Jared Way.
Bring back My Chemical Romance to be a comic.
Just them. Just
give them me the storyline of Black Parade.
What? It will have it like be the Beatles almost, just going on silly adventures.
Or, well, not even like the band members being characters, but like the story of Black Parade was based on a war, I think. Maybe. Or it's like post-war. So like, give me the story of the boy going to see the marching band and what happens next.
Maybe it is, because there is one of the music videos for a song off the album, which I can't remember the name of it, is like in a World War II scene.
This week on the Z2 podcast, we reminisce.
There was a point where I listened to a lot of MCR. That was a really good album, I will not lie.
I only know Black Parade.
I can't remember like a majority of the song titles, but I remember a lot of the songs.
Are they the ones that have like the stupid obnoxious song titles, or is that Panic?
No, that's Panic and Fall Out Boy.
Okay. The trifecta of emo middle school.
Yes.
As I like to call them.
Yes.
Alrighty.
Speaking of dumb things that we're reminiscing on, we finally get to see what Thor was doing during Civil War.
He was in Australia.
Yeah, with Banner and his new buddy.
Yeah, Dan.
Daryl. Just dumb shit of him doing things with Mjolnir.
I want to go visit the children. Who's this? Vision! I never thought you guys would be able to name that weirdo. I'm like, what is this?
It's just such a dumb ad. And then, like, just very secretly, there's the thing, Thor Ragnarok 2018.
Yeah.
Or 2017.
It's such a stupid but funny.
And then Bruce Banner shows up, and he's on Tony the phone Stark with Tony. Is like, yeah, Thor's right here. So, like, you want to talk to him? Oh, you got to go? Okay.
Tell him to send me a raven.
Yeah. It's just so dumb, but...
Dear Tony Stark, I hear you're having relationship issues with Steve again. That was probably my favorite thing, because they know their audience at that point. Yeah,
they know where they're marketing this to. Such a dumb thing, but so hilarious.
Yes. You know what else is a dumb thing? I hatched 2 10K eggs this week in Pokemon Go, and they were both Eevee.
Wow, way to get shafted.
They're both perfect IV Eevees. But I already did the name thing, so I'm not guaranteed to get Vaporeons again. But damn it, I got screwed.
Yep. Could have gotten anything, but got 2 commons.
Uncommons.
Okay, yeah. They show up more.
Yeah, that's true.
Really, so what's the whole preparing for war thing? I didn't hear about this.
Okay. So I included both Action and Detective Comics on there because Detective is wrapping up their storyline, whereas Action finished their, they finally finished their first arc this week.
Right.
So, in regards to Action Comics, at least, Superman has been fighting Doomsday for weeks now in real life time, but it's only been like punching, one day.
Is it just punching each other?
Essentially, it's been one day since that has happened. That entire span of that storyline took place in a single day of just Doomsday and Supes and Lex and 1D all fighting just Doomsday.
All punching him.
Yeah. And Mr. Oz has been scheming in the background. He is the finger-touching thing that Zach is doing right now.
The evil fingers.
But he and his minions in Black Zero have try to capture Doomsday and like, let's push him into the portal, our boss wants him, and like, they're shooting him with guns, and then Doomsday just rips them apart, like, naturally. You know his bony structure.
Yeah.
At one point he knees a dude in the chest and you see the bulge come out through his back. I'm like, ooh, you're dead,
you're gone.
And so at the end of the issue, Superman uses the Phantom Zone projector and locks Doomsday away. However, Mr. Oz, in all of his Mr. Oz glory, has captured Doomsday.
Wahaha.
And it's like, now I have my greatest weapon. So my question is, at least in Action Comics, is like, what is Mr. Oz doing? I mean, that's been everyone's question since issue 35 of Superman. What the hell is this dude doing? Is he preparing for a war? Mm-hmm. And if so, who's it a war against? Because remember, in Rebirth, technically Dr. Manhattan is not the big bad. He triggered the events, mm-hmm. but is there a higher power at play? Why would Mr. Oz need... Because
didn't Manhattan technically try to save the universe from something?
Ish. I mean, that was...
That was his whole reasoning.
That's his reasoning. But Pandora's like, you fucked us. But, what is... Yeah, what is the purpose behind that? Because you have this genetically modified being who Oz is... Ozymandias is all about. I mean, look at his blue leopard cat thing. And then he's like, I'm preparing you, Superman, for something bigger. And it's like, what's even going on?
What do you mean bigger? Yeah. What is coming?
So we get to see...
You know Doomsday is just a baby again. Yeah. So it's not Doomsday. Or not Doomsday, Darkseid.
Yeah, so... that's why I said it's kind of my discussion of whether or not of what's going to be happening, who is really the big bad at play here, and like what's Oz's end game, especially because, you know, we see a new Clark Kent again, and that's going to be the main focus of the next issue of Action Comics, is like, who are you? Because you are not Superman. You are not
the Clark I know.
Yeah. Even Lex makes comments towards that. It's like, I was inspired by your predecessor. That's why I've taken up his shield, his cape. I want us to be allies. And Superman's just like, well, not yet, and flies off. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting that all these characters have come together, essentially, and they're all preparing against something. Same deal with the colony in Detective Comics. The colony is there to stop this mythic, this shadow organization.
League of Shadows, was just a myth.
Possibly. There's like one thing in there that I noticed that I can talk about here in a second, but it's like Tim Drake is preparing himself from war. Mm-hmm. Have you read it?
Yeah.
And the issue ends with him.
Yeah.
Like,
he's about to fight. All the drones aimed targeting
and
him.
I'm just sitting there. I'm like, why the fuck did you not use Clayface to pose as you? Come on, Tim. You're the smartest person ever.
Because he's trying to separate himself from the whole Batman thing. Cause that whole issue, he's like, He's like, I'm leaving after this.
Yeah, he was going to Ivy Town and go dick around with Ryan Choi or something.
Yeah. And Steph's like,
sorry, okay. That's Ivy Town, right? Yeah, that's Ivy. Where's the hub city? I don't know. But, you know.
So this is like his finale.
Yeah, this is Tim's last hurrah, and I hope he doesn't die. That's my thing.
Even Batman just like panics. He's just like, get the batch there. It's not going to make it. Just do it. Fuck shit. Tim.
And Stephanie. Like, I've shown Kayla some of the art, and it's just gorgeous watercolor mm-hmm. and just everything else. So
I will say the one, like, it's very disorienting when it's just like, you know, just regular panel, watercolor.
Yeah, the watercolor is like the important scenes.
It's just like, it just
want you to
really
focus on.
Feels out of place, though.
Yeah. But so in that regards, preparing for war, when Cassandra was evacuating her little complex area, mm-hmm. there was a dude in a hat and a beard who had like completely blacked out eyes. And I'm like, oh, crap. Is the League of Shadows really real?
I always thought it was just another colony member. Because remember, they have shadow agents all across the city.
But so does the League of Shadows, allegedly. But
it's like, is this the new Court of Owls thing?
Yeah.
It's like, they're not real. Allegedly. Oh shit, they're real.
Yeah. But it's really interesting that these two stories have devoted so much time to other characters because, I mean, in the past, in the New 52, Detective Comics was just another Bruce Wayne Batman story.
And
Action Comics.
Been very focused on Kate. And
everyone.
Yeah, even Clayface has gotten a little bit of spotlight.
And it was on Reddit this week, but people are like, what's the most surprising thing about Rebirth to you? And everyone says, like, Detective Comics has been, like, this amazing book. Because
not so much detective-y, but very good.
Yeah,
very entertaining, very action-y.
Very much, like, focusing on the Bat family. And each character gets a really good spotlight. Mm-hmm. And they're
even,
in an
like,
issue.
Going back to, like, Bruce's parents' death of Kate being at the funeral,
mm-hmm.
just like trying to be there for him,
and then Jacob's like, "That was my sister. Fuck Thomas Wayne." And it's like, dude,
So is this whole thing like you're just still bitter about your sister dying? 40-year grudge.
Looks like we should have threw the Waynes in Arkham. I'm like, oh, that's a little extreme, buddy.
Oh, buddy.
But yeah, the reason why I just titled that Preparing for War is just because it's really interesting.
Something is coming, but we don't know.
Something big is coming.
Aside from the Monster Men.
Yeah.
Kaiju.
But yeah, I'm really excited. Especially, it's going to be interesting to see the fallout from Detective Comics because we know Steph is pissed off at something.
I wonder if this is going to be kind of similar to the whole Forever Evil ending where it's like we're killing off this character to go do a secret mission. Like I could easily see like Tim getting killed off and Batman like talking to him. It's like, I want you to go here to investigate this for me. Like the whole Nightwing and Spiral thing.
My theory is that Tim just gets injured and then Stephanie's pissed off at Bats.
Right. I don't want her to leave. I love Spoiler.
Yeah. Well, Bluebird's going to make an appearance eventually.
What if Bluebird steps in to fill Tim's position?
It'd be interesting.
That would make me so happy.
She's going to be at Gotham Academy for one issue.
I know, but I love Bluebird and I miss her.
I know. But, you know, it's really cool because I was so hesitant on liking Detective at first because it's like, oh, cool, Tim Drake, Spoiler, and Cass. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Batwoman. I haven't read a good Batwoman thing since JH3 left.
Mm-hmm.
And then Clayface is really weird. You and I both said
we're just like, why
Clayface?
Yeah, we still really don't know why Clayface, but we're getting some more human aspects out of him.
Yeah, we did learn why he was on the team. And it's like, he can do better. He's reformed. He just wants to be human. But it's like, at the end of this run, I'm like, holy crap, this is probably one of the best storylines I read. You know, it's a bit dialogue heavy. And that's kind of like Tynan's MO.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, comparing Detective Comics to like the backups in Batman that he wrote, it's like a whole other ballgame.
Yeah.
Because it's his story that he gets to focus on.
Right. And what I find weird is I feel like Tynan writes team books really, really well. And then some of his solo books aren't nearly. I feel like he does better when there's multiple aspects or different characters he can bounce off of throughout his story, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like usually you see a lot of writers do better with solo books
mm-hmm.
so they can focus on that one character trait.
Yeah.
But
I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. I'm really interested to see how it all ends next week.
Yep. Wait, isn't it? I remember you tweeted, isn't 940 the issue where Bluebird shows up?
Either 940 or 947, something like that.
I don't think it was that far ahead. I want to say it was like 940 or 941.
What are we on?
939.
Okay. So who knows?
It'll like I said, really maybe it's like she comes in after the fallout or something.
Yeah. She hasn't been on any of the covers that I've seen in solicits, but holy crap. You know, I don't know what it is about Rebirth, but it's been so cool seeing all these characters kind of essentially go back to their roots, which was the whole purpose of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, DC is just absolutely killing it. They haven't, I mean.
Aside from Justice League.
Yeah. Both you and I are vocal about that. Like,
this is not fun. This is kind of boring.
Yeah, but it's like all these books have been so great and you know I want to pick up more and more. Like I dropped Justice League, but I picked up Blue Beetle, and I'll talk about Blue Beetle later. So
yeah,
it's been really cool. I'm really excited.
It is. I'm probably gonna wait to see what Gail Simone announces before I add anything, because if it based on what her rumors, it sounds like it's going to be a Shazam or Shazam family book.
It's going to be a Rob Schneider book.
God damn her. That's the one thing I just will never understand about Gail Simone. Somebody mentions something to her, and she's just like, I'm going to run this joke into the fucking ground for the next 2 weeks.
It's just a new meme, like King Frog.
King Buttermilk.
King Buttermilk. Yes. Is
that's still a thing?
Colossus's
organic
steel, or is it and adamantium?
Fuck Cyclops.
Smog's cup.
Yes, Smog's cup.
Yes, that's my favorite one though.
Yes,
but yeah. Okay.
Last thing we have is Captain America, Hail Hydra, vow to kill Red Skull.
Yes,
which is not what we expected this whole story to go towards.
Oh look, Nick Spencer wrote some unexpected twist about Steve Rogers being a Hydra agent, but it's changed.
Except the whole thing of everyone thinking the solicit is he gains his original memories back is, well, no. Now he's like,
fuck Hydra.
We got
in the butt.
Yeah, fuck Hydra in the butt. But now this is going to be my Hydra.
Exactly. Did you read that interview or the last issue? So I only caught a glimpse of it on like either.
I just saw like scans of like Kobiak in the corner and just like, you can't call Bucky. Yeah, don't do that.
I think I sent it to you. It was a CBR article or Newsrama.
Yeah, I just kind of scanned through it.
But Kobiak has been stopping Bucky from communicating with Steve at all. So she has her own agenda. And then they flash back into the original timeline or the manifested time, the sepia tone timeline, as I refer to it. And it's the Hydra agent that kills Steve's mother. And Steve witnesses it. Whereas in the original timeline, his mother dies peacefully. So Steve is like, he's brought up as this Hydra child with these modified memories. He watches his mother get killed by a Hydra agent. So now he's kind of on like a war path.
Yeah, isn't this whole thing is just like everything that's gone wrong in my life is because of Red Skull.
Pretty much. So he's still very much Hydra Rogers. But now his ultimate end game is I need to kill the Red Skull.
We need to make Hydra great again by killing Red Skull.
God.
What? Oh, shit. What was it? Oh, it was Hellboy. Was it Hellblazer?
Yeah, it was Hellblazer.
That made the line of
make Germany great
again. Yeah, make Germany. I was like, oh, shit, that was way too relevant.
That was really ballsy.
I was like, oh, boy. Oliver.
But it was really interesting because now we have this warpath Steve Rogers who's been raised with these Hydra ideals that it seems like he wants to make his own Hydra that splinters off from the Red Skulls. So
it's like, how long until Steve finally talks to Bucky and Bucky's just like, what the fuck do you mean, Hydra?
Exactly. It's like the one person that knows Steve better than himself is Bucky. Mm-hmm. Not even like Sam knows everything because Steve and Bucky were raised together, especially in like the new retconned MC timeline of everything. But I don't know what's going on. I don't know what Kobiak's endgame is right now. Unless
I always thought she was just like kind of her like Red Skull's tool for this whole thing.
Yeah, she's a cosmic cube with a human personality that can with reality itself. So it's like, it's interesting because even Steve Rogers was not aged back. He was reverted to something. Like, it wasn't necessarily de-aging, but like, here is your soldier serum again.
Yeah, they just pretty much gave him the soldier serum back.
Yeah, and that somehow made him not old and young, blonde, Hail Hydra-y.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. I'm really pumped to see where it goes. I don't read Captain America, but I might pick this up in trade because I like Spencer and I like all of his twists and turns that he does.
He does political twists and turns very well.
Oh, yeah.
And just like you never really know what the end game is. Like even Morning Glories, you still don't fucking know what the end game is 50 issues in.
Hey, 50 more issues to go, man.
Is he ending at a hard 100?
I think he said he was. But man. Just you wait.
Maybe.
I saw at the con, like, someone was like, this is whatever the dog's name was.
Pretzels.
Yeah, this is Pretzels. We got to watch out for him.
He has 600 arrests under his belt, and he can't be swayed because he's a dog.
Are we going to dress up as Pretzels for DCC?
A dashing Wilford costume. Oh, Pretzels. I think or is he a beagle? He's a beagle or a dachshund. I think he's a beagle, though.
Yeah. Alrighty. Should we move on to picks and then wrap things up?
Yeah.
Alright. I will start this week. So, my pick of the week.
Was he emotionally filled?
Issue? No, it wasn't anything emotional.
Thank God.
I'm not going to tell you to, like, go buy something this week. Actually, no. I'm going to tell you to go buy something this week.
I mean, that's the whole point of this.
Yeah.
This segment.
One of the things I'm trying to do is always kind of pick something new out because I realize it's I go into the trap of I'm going to talk about Spider-Man, Batman, or Star Wars from week to week.
Yeah.
So this week, I literally just said it, but I'm picking Blue Beetle Rebirth issue 1. And it is by Keith Giffen. It's art by Scott Collins, cover by Scott Collins, and it stars Blue Beetle. Literally, this one issue of Blue Beetle is better than the entire New 52 run, including that one weird crossover where he goes into space and meets Larfleeze. I can't remember what the name of that comic was, but it got canceled after 7 issues.
Was it the Larfleeze comic?
No, it was another thing that also starred Larfleeze. But in this issue of Blue Beetle, it opens with him and Ted meeting. And then it also, no, it opens with Margot, his little sister, who we haven't seen since before the New 52.
Right.
His father, his mother, his friends. And I'm like, holy hell, his supporting cast, they exist again.
They're alive.
Yeah. And I'm really excited because we got to see all these new characters come back. And it opens with Jaime walking to school, and then Ted Kord calls him. He's like, hey, there's this robbery happening. They want you there. And it's like, are you kidding me? Right now, I need to go to school. It's like, I'll just write you a pass. Whatever. Don't worry about it. He's like, I'm going to get detention again. It's like, hey, Jaime, crime, Blue Beetle.
Got stuff to do.
Yeah. So he flies off and he transforms in his Blue Beetle costume. And we know that he's still having like some issues controlling the armor 100%, but he's not communicating with the Beetle because the Beetle is no longer made by the Reach, but
Is it no longer sentient?
It's not technology. Huh. It is magic now, according to the last issue.
Is that where the Dr. Fate thing comes in?
Yes. And they actually redo those two pages completely in the comic, which is really cool because we get to see it in its own style and Ted. And Jaime literally refers to Ted. It's like this dude that's obsessed with me being a superhero because he thinks I can do good things as the Blue Beetle. And then Ted has the bug, the Beetle,
the ship.
And it's like, why do we need this? It's the mobile Batcave. It's like, why do we need a Batcave? I'm armored. So Jaime goes to the crime scene and literally spelled out in the ground is, where is Blue Beetle? And it's like, they spelled your name wrong. So it's just really funny. It's very lighthearted, and, you know, Jaime's getting his ass kicked by literally body parts. Like, he shatters these dudes he was fighting. I can't remember their names, but they're, like, super just unnoteworthy villains because they're not even human. And he's like, you're literally getting your butt kicked by a bunch of limbs right now.
Ouch.
And it's really entertaining. And then the issue ends with one of his friends going home to her aunt. It's like, hey, how's school? And she's like, oh, it's good. You know, it's whatever. And then we know the aunt is like evil because she's communicating with the dudes who fought with Blue Beetle. But it's just a very fun, lighthearted book. Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis, or J.M. DeMatteis isn't on this book, but the two of them did such a fantastic run on like Justice League International, where we got the Bwahahaha Blue Beetle.
The evil.
And, you know, I think it's perfect for Keith Giffen to return to his roots with Rebirth again, just kind of like Dan Jurgens going back on action
storyline.
Yeah, and it's really cool because it's another one of those very kind of all ages books that can fit in with Gotham Academy or fit in with like some of those old DCU era books. So I'm really excited by it. I grew really attached to Ted Kord as a character, and then I really didn't care too much about Jaime, but then I read like a Green Lantern Guy Gardner crossover
and
with
then
him.
Young Justice happened.
Then Young Justice happened, so I'm like really invested, and I'm kind of wondering, it's like, okay, you went through like Keith Giffen was the one who literally retconned the Magical Scarab into being Reach technology, and now it's being retconned back into magic. So it's really cool, and then we get to see Ted Kord. I like the only, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why I'm kind of clinging to this book right now. It is a fun, very humorous book. Ted still makes really dumb jokes all the time, which is my favorite, but I'm just waiting for Booster to come back and get some blue and gold action.
Yeah.
So I'm pumped. I like it. I recommend it.
Nice. And my pick this week is going to be Hellblazer number one. With
not Rebirth number one?
Not the Rebirth, the actual number one. It's the first issue. Setting up all the storyline that John Constantine and Swamp Thing are going to be embarking on, which Abby, Swamp Thing's wife,
Abby Arcane,
or ex-wife, former wife, has just gone straight up missing.
She's missing from the rot.
The rot, the world, like Swamp Thing cannot find her anywhere. So they go to...
That's called stalking.
Yeah, that's called stalking. I was worried about her. I just imagine Swamp Thing has that deep, really deep, just...
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah. So they go to John's quote-unquote friend.
Mercury.
Mercury, yeah. I almost said Miranda. And she loves plants, so she's already loves Swamp Thing. He's like, oh my god, you're the champion Avatar of the Green. Just like, you can call me Swamp Thing.
She immediately kicks out.
Yeah, this is a
constant
leave. It's like, okay. And there's even John. I feel like it's a really good personality to John. Like, this is my first Constantine book I'm reading ever. Yeah.
Hopefully the mic picked that up.
I feel like it did, but.
All right, let me try again.
Yeah, it did. And we got two of them. Face slaps. But I'm surprised. I'm honestly surprised by myself that I haven't read a Constantine book now, because he's like the ultimate anti-hero. Like, he always has his own agenda that he's trying to accomplish. And I even really like the line when he gets kicked out of Mercury's place. It's just like, everybody wants to feel wanted just somewhere. And it's like, that's a really interesting thought from Constantine, when you have goddamn Swamp Thing who literally can't even go back to his old life. Like, he is Swamp Thing now.
Because I think the New 52 made it so that he was the character who then became Swamp Thing, whereas, like, in the old school Alan Moore Swamp Thing, the character died, but the Green absorbed those memories
and turned them into
the Avatar of the Green.
Yeah, what they pretty much, like, retconned it back to the OG Swamp Thing origin story.
Other than what happened with the DCU Len Wein run, because that is canon into the Hellblazers.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's pretty much what they retconned it back to. But yeah, I mean, it has a twist on, like, an alternate history story with, like, these two, like,
I think they're demons.
I want to say demons or sorcerers, because they've been around for so long. It flashes back to the beginning of World War One. With the assassination of Franz Ferdinand, and being the history nerd that I am.
Archduke Franz Ferdinand. You forgot to mention he's an archduke. I literally cannot say his name without saying archduke first.
But they flash back to the day that he's assassinated, and they go into the whole, oh, it started World War One and the world war to end all wars, killing 17 million men. So I'm curious to see what that's going to play into, because they made it very apparent that these two are, like, they're brothers, but it's like they don't see eye to eye. One of them's just like, yeah, we stopped that event that day, but we've killed so many humans. Mm-hmm. It's like, we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, Merid straight up murders his brother at the end of the issue, or at least that's what I assumed.
Tortured, or I want to say he, like, tortured him or something. Maybe he's, like, gonna force him to do something. And there's this overlying curse for Constantine of going back to London.
They already fixed that. That was the first issue. Yeah. That was the rebirth issue.
Right, but they didn't. I forgot that the beginning of this issue was, like, a flashback.
Yeah.
Before the whole rebirth event. But yeah, I'm really liking it so far, and it's really cool. And I'm, like I said, I'm surprised I haven't read any Constantine until now, because I feel like I like anti-heroes so much, and he's, like, the ultimate anti-hero.
Well, have you ever heard of the Constantine trope?
No.
It's really bizarre. It started with Alan Moore, who's just, like, inhuman, I want to say.
He's a wizard.
Yeah, there was a Zubat in his basement. His daughter caught one there. But actually, let me look it up. This week on the Z2 podcast,
we look things up.
Fun trivia on my phone. But Constantine as a fictional character is so bizarre, because, you know, he was originally just this Vertigo character, and then he started appearing in DC Comics, and then Vertigo got thrown into DC. And he actually has a very special relationship with Swamp Thing, because that's where Constantine first appeared, was Saga of Swamp Thing issue 37, created by Alan Moore, Steve Bissett, and Tom Sullivan.
Hey.
And then he was he became the lead character of Hellblazer, and then Constantine, and then Constantine Hellblazer, and now the Hellblazer once again. So it's a really interesting thing. I'm trying to find it. But there's this, not necessarily a rumor, but like that every writer who has ever written Constantine has met him.
Oh, yeah. In just some way.
Yeah. So Alan Moore said he's met his creation on two occasions. One time he was in Westminster, London, and he was sitting at a sandwich bar, and then John Constantine came down wearing a trench coat, looked at him, and then he just smiled and then left. And then the second time, and then Alan Moore is like, did I really see my character exist? He straight up says, I'm not lying. I truly believe that this happened. And then in 2001, he said he met Constantine again. And then he was just sitting there and then Constantine comes up and whispered to him, I'll tell you the ultimate secret of magic. Any cunt can do it. So mm-hmm. it was just like these really weird things. So
it's also Alan Moore, so it's always hard to take what he says seriously sometimes.
And then the writers who had written Hellblazer, so Jamie Delano says he encountered Constantine outside the British Museum. Peter Milligan met Constantine at a party in 2009. Brian Azzarello said he's seen Constantine in a bar in Chicago, but avoided him, saying that the thing is about John is the last thing you'd want to be is his friend. So it's like,
there's the mythos around this guy is so bizarre.
It's so great. And then you have someone like Matt Ryan, who is the perfect embodiment of Constantine. I wonder if he has met like that same fate of that he met Constantine, but it's a really cool thing. It's just so otherworldly, and that's that mythos is actually what made me started reading.
And it just fits so much with Constantine.
Yeah, the man who walks into hell and back out.
And it's like he's such a core figure in the whole DC magic universe. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't wait for him to, like, after this arc, maybe he teams up with Zatanna or Deadman or someone.
Yeah, the Hellblazers being just like a team-up book
I need someone's help for this mission, this particular mission.
Have you read any of Justice League Dark?
No.
Okay. I'll let you borrow it. But Peter Milligan wrote the first arc, and then Jeff Lemire took over.
And then
2 and 3.
Didn't Ray Fox take over?
Maybe. I think Ray Fox had the end. But Jeff Lemire, Peter Milligan, someone else. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I have Justice League Dark to loan you. And then the DCU era of Constantine the Hellblazer, Ming Doyle, James Tynan. So a lot of fun stuff for you to catch up on. And I'm sure John at Hall of Justice will help you catch up.
Yeah. Since he's a big Constantine fan as well.
Yeah. He's just a Vertigo person and Aquaman.
Yeah. Yep.
Alrighty. So to take us away, you can always find the two of us at Z2 Comics.
What?
Z2 Comics.
That's the actual thing.
Sorry.
That's an actual thing that exists.
Yes, that's an actual thing. We do not write for Z2 Comics, unlike Columbian, who makes amazing comics. But you can find us, the two members of the Z2 Podcast, on Facebook, Twitter, at Z2 Podcast, or literally the @ Z2 Podcast. Yep. You can also find us on our website, z2podcast.wordpress.com, and you can read the one official essay of Empty Pages that's kind of pinned on our Facebook page about the legacy of Batman. Really exciting stuff there. As always, if you're listening to us right now, you're probably listening to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, or on our website.
Yeah.
And please make sure and if you'd like, you can tell a friend about us. If you like, we like friends. We are friends. Me, you, and you, the internet. We are friends now. All of the internet. We are friends. And we appreciate you. And we especially appreciate if you would leave us a review on either Google Play, Stitcher Radio, or iTunes so that we can make this entire show a little bit better.
Yeah.
Do you like us going on off random tangents and shit like that? We can do more of that. Example, this podcast where we didn't start for 5 minutes.
It makes it more organic, though, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Tell a friend about us. Give us a review.
We want your feedback.
Yeah, we love you guys. Really. We record this week to week. We have discussions of like, okay, things came up. When can we do this? So like, I was in Fort Collins all weekend. I had to drive an hour back here to Aurora. Zach is going to a wedding.
It's the end of September, so we got to figure that out.
Can I just have the keys to your apartment? Me and Jim can record.
I mean, sure.
All right, I'll just bring Steve.
We'll figure something
out. And yeah, if you guys like us having like a third guest, for example, we enjoy having John. We enjoy having Steve. These are some of our favorite people. We've been
trying to get some interviews set up.
Yeah.
Not sure what's going on with those, but we're trying.
Yeah. So,
but if you also have a project that you want to come talk to us about, or just come and talk about comics with us.
Yeah.
Please hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or you can email us at z2podcasts@gmail.com.
That's with an extra S at the end. Yes. Podcast.
Multiple podcasts.
Yeah. Because we love giving you guys all of this free content to enjoy.
Yes.
And we want to know how to make it better. Make Z2 Podcasts great for the first time. So, like I said, we love you, Internet. And we will do anything for you.
Yeah.
And be sure to check out some of our other stuff. We did 0.5 episodes on Super Fight. Like I said, there's a weird essay that I wrote on our WordPress.
Maybe I'll do the next essay if I find time for it.
We are going to do a couple episodes of a game called Overcooked, something we just talked about for a while.
Yeah, so that'll be on YouTube at some point.
Yeah, we'll be sure to drop you guys word about the couch potatoes or sticks and dicks, whatever we decide to name it. Yeah, that's everything.
Yeah.
Am I missing anything?
No, we got everything and more.
Hey, DC Rebirth is awesome. I am continued to be amazed after the end of every issue. Image books. I didn't read any this week, but you know what?
A lot of my image books are going on break again.
Yeah.
I only have one next week.
Yeah. I think the only one that's ongoing, right? Well, that's Killer Be Killed and Black Monday Murders in Fuck Fairyland, or I Hate Fairyland are the only ones I'm reading.
I got Saga next week. Yeah, just Saga next week, which is coming back.
Sweet.
Sex Criminals hasn't been out since April, I just realized.
Oh.
I checked today, I was like, when is the next issue for that? It's bothering me.
It's like Plutona. When's the next issue coming out?
And also Surviving Megalopolis isn't coming out until like the end of September.
I forgot about that.
It's not until the end of September.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right.
But yeah.
Take us out, Zach.
I got nothing for you to say, so I'm just going to end it here.
I love you, Internet.